Okay. So, Malachim Perek Zayin. So we picked up, we're picking up with the building of Shlomo's palace. So we already saw last week that he had built the Beit HaMikdash before, right, from the fourth year until the 11th year of his kingdom. And then, in the 13th year, he built his palace. Right? Now, again, the majority of the Mefarshim follow the Chazal in the Gemara and in several Midrashim to understand here a praise of Shlomo, that his palace he waited on, but his first priority was the Beit HaMikdash. But Alex Israel notes in his article, now I saw that it's published into a book because I saw it lying around, Or Chaim. But notes there are other Chazals. So there is a Gemara in which doesn't directly address this, but it tells the story of what happens when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash. And the way it tells the story is that Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash and he was ready to come in and the gates wouldn't open for him. So he starts saying, you know, open Su Sharim Rashechem, right? It's commenting on the Perek of Tilim, Su Sharim Rashechem, etc. Come in, let me go in for God. You know, and it doesn't open, it doesn't open, it doesn't open, and eventually he says, open because of David Avi, and the doors open. So he points out that here Chazal seem to have that other approach, that they're hesitating, right? That Shlomo built the whole Beit HaMikdash, but until he invokes David, the doors sort of stay closed to him. So he sees that maybe Chazal there are criticizing him and reading it the other way that we said last week, that maybe the fact that he builds his palace at the same time that they're juxtaposed tells you that at some level his sincerity in building the Beit HaMikdash had a bit of his own ego mixed in until he mentions David, right? David being the one who has no hidden agenda, the doors don't open. So that's how he sort of sees both sides here. But again, the majority of Mefarshim see this as a praise. Alternatively, Yudakil in Dot Mikra suggests that maybe this is, again, a praise of Shlomo, not the way Rashi takes it, but rather this emphasizes that his kingdom was predicated on the Mikdash, on the notion of Hashem and the Mikdash, and therefore part of his whole vision is the building of the Beit HaMikdash and his palace. So anyways, in his palace, though, now it describes his palace. Even at Beit Yar HaLivanon, Me'a Amar, Kov HaChamishim Amar Rachbo, Shloshim Amar Komato, Al Arba Turei Hamudei Arazim, Chutot Arazim Al Amudim. So he builds the Lebanon Forest House. So this is, right, with four rows of cedars and cedar beams, and it was 100 cubits by 50 cubits and 30 cubits. So it's not really clear what this is, but it's bigger than the Beit HaMikdash. Most of the Mefarshim think it's his summer house, that his summer house was the first thing he built. And it was massive, just absolutely massive. There's a...
He doesn't say where he built it, though.
So he builds it... it seems like it's near everything else, but it's like this, you know, cool house. So Alex Israel again quotes Noga Haruveni, I think the name was, who suggests that... based on the continuation, well, you know, let's just read the whole description. He says, "V'safun pe'erez mimala l'tzloda shal amudim arba v'chamisha v'chamisha asar atur u'shkufim shlosha turim machazeh al machazeh shalosh pamim v'chol ha'ptachim azot ruvuim shekef u'mumechze al mechze shalosh pamim." So you have it was paneled above with cedar, and there were 45 columns, 15 in each row, and there were three rows of windows, and three tiers of windows, and all the doors and doorposts had square frames with three tiers of windows facing each other. So it's these huge wood things and beautiful windows, and it's not really clear exactly what it is. So he quotes this, Noga Ruveni suggests that these windows are actually are more like mirrors, and he was creating, you know, the infinite look, right? You have mirrors on both sides, that he put some cedar trees. He said, why is it called Beit, right, this Beit Yar HaLevanon? Because he put, like, 45 trees, you know, so it looks realistic. You know, and then he put mirrors on all four sides that looked infinitely large. And he suggests that this was, so the Mefarshim say it was his summer house, but they say it's probably a summer house where he met dignitaries. Like, you know, he would bring them in, like Camp David. You know, we go out in some nice place in the middle of the forest, and that's where we're going to make our deals, because when everyone's relaxed, it's much easier to make deals. So he suggests that that's what this is, and it's this supposed to be this super impressive looking thing where you create an indoor forest, right? It looks infinite, it's impressive. So that's how he reads it.
I never heard about this house.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this I never heard this plot until I saw it in Alex Israel from this Noga Rovini's. I think it was Nobel Prize. I think he said it was Nobel Prize winner or something, like a professor of like biblical botany or something. I wasn't really sure. A professor or something, or maybe it wasn't Nobel Prize. Whatever he was a professor of botany or. And then, right, you know, it just continues to describe it. That ulama mudim asach hamishim amarka shalom amarachba ulama pneim amudim v'aval pneim ulama kisei shirish botsham ulama mishpat asav esafun be'erez me'akarka adakarka. And he made a portico of columns 50 by 30, and the portico was in front of the columns. There were columns with the canopy in front of them, and he made the throne portico where he was going to judge, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to floor. Right. It's hardwood floors, hardwood walls, hardwood ceiling, it's hardwood everything. A gorgeous place. Now, what you do see here, which is interesting, and this is what we saw already in the praise of Shlomo at the beginning, is that even when Shlomo asks to be the wisest person ever, he doesn't really ask to be the wisest person. We saw he asked, make me wise to judge. Right? That is the one thing he seems to be consistently committed to, which is to be a good judge for the Jewish people. And even here, when it's describing this palace, right, it's not his throne, it's his throne where he can judge, right? And that does appear over and over, that is on the, you know, when we're praising Shlomo, one of the things that the Navi brings up over and over is his commitment to being a good judge for the people, and that's, you know, that's his focus when he builds this beautiful palace. And then, so this is the sort of political component of his house. And then Uve Tova Sher Yashav Sham Chatzer Acher Mibeit La'olav K'maseh Zeh Haya Uvei Yaseh Levad Paro Sher Lakach Shlomo Ko'olam Hazeh. And then where he lived was in the back, right? Part of this, like he had a little, you know, I don't know, little, but he lived in the back of this structure somewhere. And he also made a palace for Bat Paro, not in his house. Right? It sounds like her own palace, which lead Chazal to say that so much was his marriage, a political marriage, that maybe they weren't even really married. Like it was a political marriage, so he made her own palace. She didn't live near him. She had her palace. You know, this was his union with Mitzrayim. So he makes a palace for Bat Paro, but not his palace. Even though she does seem to be the main wife, right? She's not really his, you know, active wife, it sounds like. Or at some level, he's giving her independence. V'chol eile avanim mikarot midot gazit migororot b'gavera mibaydo michutz mimizad aratzachor michutz erchatzer abidola, and all these buildings from foundation to copping and all the way out to the great garden were of choice stones, hewn with measure, smooth on all sides. Everything is made of, right, this beautiful wood, and now the beautiful stone mimizad avanim mikarot avanim gedolot avnei eser amot v'avnei shmone amot. Then the foundations were of huge blocks of choice stones, 10 cubits by 8 cubits, which is massive, right? Each stone. And you think about how the foundation of this building is not small stones. It's these, right? It's what, almost 20 feet by 16 feet or 15 feet by. It's big. Big single rocks. And then above there were choice stones. And the large surrounding courtyard had 3 tiers of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. And the same for the inner court of the Beit HaMikdash. Etc. Okay, so that's his palace. And after that sort of aside for his palace, we go back to the Beit HaMikdash. Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo v'yikach et Chiram mitzor. So he calls Chiram from Tzor. Ben Ishal Mana, who, mimatei Naftali, v'aviv ish Tzori, choresh nechoshet. V'yimalei l'chokma v'ratzuna v'radat lasot kol malcha v'nechoshet, v'yavo HaMelech Shlomo v'yazet kol malchto. So he is the... And this is strange. He is the son of a widow from Naphtali, and his father was from Tzor, was from Tyre, and he was a coppersmith. Now, the first point is his background is bizarre, not just because, you know, his parents are seemingly intermarried, but because in Divrei Hayamim, his father is not from Tzor, his father is from Dan, right? Not from Naphtali at all, he's from Dan.
Was the king?
Right. So some of the Mepharshim say, no, this is you're misreading it. It's not that Chiram is from Tzor. It's he sent to Hiram, and Hiram sent him a Ben Ish Almana. Right? That he asked Hiram, basically, send me your best guy, and Hiram sent him this Ben Ish Almana. Right? So it's not totally clear that Hiram is the Ben Ish Almana. It could be that Hiram sends the Ben Ish Almana. Right? It's clear that Hiram is the person in charge. The question is he the actual person who actually attends? Because yes, Hiram is the leader of.
Right, and he later on.
Correct. So that's right. So that's why it may mean right. So it may mean that what it means is right. Hiram sent. Right. The Mefarshim divide doesn't mean Hiram is this person. Right. He's mixed. Right. He himself, the leader of Sor, is from a mixed marriage, or is it that Hiram sends somebody to him who is a Ben Ish Almana? And then there's this problem of Naphtali, where in Divrei Hayamim he's from Dan. Which, if he's from Dan, is perfect, because if it's from Dan, it creates the parallel to the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was built by two people, right? One was Bezalel, who was from Lamate Yehuda, and the other was from Dan, right? I mean, you look at right, you look in Parashat Truma. In Parshat Parshat Truma.
Why did he do this title though?
Right. So that's, I mean,
and he was Jewish in this case.
Right. Well, that's what leads to part of the question of who are we talking about here, right? Is it that Hiram is the one who is the Ben Am Ish Almana, or is it just that he sent to Hiram? Hiram sends him somebody else, right? In Parashat Kitisa, we find out that two people build a Mishkan are Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda, and the other one is Eliyahu ben Achisamach l'mate Dan. So if, as Divrei Hayamim says, he's from Dan, then we recreate this notion, and the Midrash picks up on this, that the Mikdash will always, even in the time of Mashiach, will be built by two people, one from Malchut Yehuda and one from Dan. Why? So that seems to be that Yehuda, we understand, is the leader, he's always the king, but Dan is the last of the Shvatim. When the Jews travel in the desert, he's the Ma'asef L'chol Machanot, he travels last. So there's something symbolic. The Beit HaMikdash is always built from the person who at the front and the person at the at the rear guard, right? The person on top, the person at the bottom. Together, they always build the Mikdash. And the language here invokes the image of the Mishkan, right? Because the pasuk says, "Vayimaleinat chokma v'datzuna v'dadat lasod kol malcha banachoshet," which is the way the Torah basically describes Bezalel, that he was given v'amalei oto ruach Elohim v'chochma uv'tuna uv'dar v'chom l'acha v'achshov machshavot l'asot v'zahav v'kesev v'nachochet. Right, it's almost identical language from Parshat Kitisa, because that's exactly what's happening. Shlomo is now actualizing the Beit HaMikdash. He is the heir of Yehuda, of Bezalel, and then there's this person who, according to Raymond, is from Dan, and they are now building the Beit HaMikdash, which is the permanent version of the Mishkan.
So he says that she, the mother, is from Shevet Dan, and the father is from Naphtali. And he just lived in Tzor.
That's another way to take it, right? That each story doesn't mean he's from Tzor, it means he lived in Tzor. There's right. Different ways the Mefarshim try to split this, right? Either
Shochen Betzor.
Right, so that's one way of taking it, either Shochen or talking about...
Is he the king or is he a different person?
So, well, again, so that depends whether this person is Hiram or this person is the person Hiram sent. Because it would be very strange if the king is Hiram.
He thinks it's Hiram.
Correct. So if it's Hiram, it's weird that the king... Right, and that makes it... Because he was the king, so then it's just weird. How is Hiram married to the Jews? Unclear, but... Correct. I don't remember who suggested this alternate read, which would solve a lot of problems. I think most Mefarshim assume that this is talking about Hiram, Melech Tzor, but there was that alternative read that I saw.
It's Tzor in Lebanon?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So he was the Jewish king on a non-Jewish nation?
Well, that's what's sort of weird about it, which is why... right. In Divrei Hayamim, he's Ben Ish Almana Min Bno Dan. Right,
he's referring to Divrei Hayamim. He mentions Divrei Hayamim.
Yeah, well, that's the the problem. Right, I mean, he brings up the different possibilities, right? Either he just lives in Tzor, but he's not. But again, if he's Tzchira Melech Tzor, how does he just live in Tzor? He's the king of Tzor, yeah. Right? So this is just the problem. What exactly is going on here? But he sends for Hiram, or he sends for this guy, the Hiram fans, whoever it is, to help him build the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'atzar shneam udim nechoshet, shmona esrei amma komar ha'amud ha'echad, v'kchut shem esrei amma yesovet ha'amud ha'sheni. So he comes and he casts these two columns of bronze. One was 18 cubits high, one was 12 in circumference, which is huge. Ushe chotarot asal etayt rashi amudim mutzak nechoshet chamesh amot komar ha'koter ne'achad v'chamesh amot komar ha'koter shenit. Right, so he made two capitals cast in bronze, one to be done on the two columns, the height of the two capitals being 5 amot. And right, we go through all these descriptions of the, and again, every detail of it. I'm not an architectural person. I don't understand it fully. I just can't imagine it. But shvachim masei shvacha gedilim masei shasherot lekotarot shel rosh amudim shiva lekotar daachat shel kotar shenit vayas amudim v'shnei turim saviv eshvacha achad lechasod lekotarot shel rosh rimonim v'chinatzal kotar shenit v'chotarot shel rosh amudim masei shushan beulam arba amor chodar al shnei amudim gam imal milumat habeten asher leiver eshvacha. Right, so then you have this meshwork on top of the columns, and then there were two rows of pomegranates. Right, so they were very ornate, and then there's a lily design on them, and they were 4 cubits high, and there was 200 pomegranates. So this, you know, we go through all, you have pictures of it. I mean, basically, he has these. What?
So I think they found those stones that match the description. He said, "Shnei amudim agdolim, yitzakim nechoshet v'kotar shev Hashem, hayu migiloi ha-pe'er shel migdash shalomo, hem amdu al mekonam hanam." Yesh amim shem zechol ha-matzevot, yesh amim shem zechol ha-matzevot.
Here they have, like, pictures.
Yeah, kotaret pruto yevanit, I don't know. שצולמה ניתן למעלה נמצאת בחפירות רמת רחל. רמת רחל יש. רמת רחל, כן.
Like where the kibbutz is, like the immediately north of Yerushalayim, like right beyond Talpiot.
So his palace was not close, so this garden was not close to the Beit HaMikdash.
It's not so far, meaning, where Ramat Rachel is now, it's like right. Or by Talpiot, basically. It's not so far.
Yeah, they found them.
So, again, all these descriptions, these, you know, he made these very, very ornate columns, which are decorated with pomegranates and lilies. It goes through very, very great detail. And then you get the two great columns in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayakav amudim leulam haichal, vayakav amud haimani, vayakav shmo yachin, vayakav amud esmali, vayakav shmo boaz. He has two main columns, one on the right, and he gives it a name called Yachin, and the other one is called Boaz. Right, and he's on the top of the columns a lily design, and then he completed them. So much has been written on what exactly the Yachin and Boaz represent. These, these massive main columns. So the Midrash suggests. So, I mean, Yachin technically means strength, and Boaz means, Yachin means preparation or established, right? Either from Lachin or it's something which is, right? Yikon is established, and then Boaz is Bo'oz, right? It has strength. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how most Mefarshim take it. And the Midrash takes it that Yachin. And Boaz are keneged. The Boaz is the parallel to the sun, which is Yotzei Bigvura Va'oz, right? The sun is representative of strength, and Yachin is the moon, because the calendar, our calendar, is set by the moon. So these stones are the Yachin and Boaz, is the sun and moon representing sort of the sun and moon coming to serve God based on the Mizmor Shlomo. Where he says Yeruchaim Hashemesh lefnei Arech Dor Dorim, that we serve God with the sun and moon, like we invoke that imagery. So that's part of it. I was listening to a shiur last night on the Gush website, but I just download a bunch, and when I'm exercising, so then I listen to whatever I hear. Where he wanted to add a level here, and he said that he thinks Yachin commemorates David, because David asks to build the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem says, no, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash, but your son will build the Beit HaMikdash. But in Divrei Hayamim especially, it goes a great length to say that when Hashem told him that he couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash, he spent his whole time preparing the Beit HaMikdash. And David consistently says, look at Asher Hachinoti, Asher Hachinoti, look at what I've prepared. And he tells Shlomo, I made everything, I prepared. And at some level, Chazal clearly do think, Chazal for sure, and the Pesukim indicate this, that the Beit HaMikdash is really David's. Right? Shlomo just carries out David's plan, but it's really David. In Menachot, it has a line of, right, Yavo Yedid, V'yivne Yedid, Bechelko Shel Yedid, which is,
it's a song,
but what it means is, right, the Gemara, it's a line of the Gemara, which is, Yavo Yedid is David, V'yivne Yedid is the Beit HaMikdash, Bechelko Shel Yedid is Binyamin, right, Levinyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem Yashkan Levetach Halav. So, the Chazal are already telling you that David is really the one who built the Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo just, Shlomo actually built it, but David was the one who prepared it. So he suggested that Yachin is David, is sort of a symbolic thing that David, and Boaz is Boaz. Boaz is the father of the Davidic dynasty.
Yes, he is grandfather.
Right? He's, right? And Boaz's act of marrying Ruth, and that act of kindness, is what founded the Davidic dynasty. So he suggests that maybe, no, Yachin and Boaz really are two, you know, it's sort of
he
like.
He just called him David and Boaz. He called him the last one, and didn't he just call him David?
Because it's weird.
Avoid a lot of trouble.
Correct, you know, but it's sort of like, you know, it's like the Judy Taub Hall, right? So this is really the David Boaz Beit HaMikdash, right? This is like,
so
this is Meir Sol-
Yachin, they couldn't call
this
him
is like Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik's joke. He's like, we get back to Beit HaMikdash, there's not going to be an Aron, there's not going to be anything. There's going to be the, you know, Steve Goldstein, Aron Kodesh, and the Aron, and this, you know, everything, because we're going to have to fundraise for the Beit HaMikdash, so everything, every little thing, you know, the mezuzah, you know, now everything is donated to Beit HaMikdash, you know, people are going to be fighting, you know, the, you'll have, you know, I don't
they
know.
Have everything already done, they don't need a fundraiser. Torah Konin prepared, everything is ready.
That doesn't mean people won't dedicate it. You know, you'll have the Koshitsky, you know, whatever, menorah, and you'll have the God, you know. This is like his perpetual, because in YU, this is like the joke, that every little thing is donated, you know. It's every office, every water fountain, everything is the something, something, memorial, something, something. But whatever, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bayit, it's sort of, you know, it's, I mean, Bayit, we have that also. Every room is
actually,
like...
smaller donations also possible, like the rings where you tie the animals to.
Yeah,
the
for sure. Just like you have them, you know.
$18, you can have one.
Exactly. Yeah. So he suggests that's what this is it's sort of a nod to the fact that that Boaz and David really set it in motion, which I thought was interesting. I don't know. Okay. Then he pasuk chav gimel to pasuk chavav. As weird as the things we've been building so far, now we get to another very strange thing that he builds, which is what is known as the Yamshel Shlomo. You know, this bath structure. So what is it? So he says vayaset hayam. He makes this tank, this bath. So it's 10 cubits, right? 10 amot across. It was 5 high, and it was 30 in circumference, which people love pointing out that it's probably not exactly 10 and 30. And the Gra is a whole gematria to get to this, that it's actually pi, right? That it's right, but it's actually pi because it's, you know, it's a diameter of 10, and then it's, you know, and then a circumference of 3, which is, you know, really it should be 3.14, but fine, but it's pi, they have a whole, so he has a whole gematria here, there's not really 3, it's like, he starts figuring out gematrias here, and without getting in, but his gematria ends up getting into that really, it means 3.14159, you know, whatever it is, ופקעים מתחת לצפתו סביב, סובבים אותו עשר בהמה, מוקפים אל הים סביב שני תורים, הפקעים יצוקים ביצוקתו. So there were gourds below the, or these decorative gourds, 10 per cubit around it. Omeid al shnei asav rakar, shlosha panim tzvafona, shlosha panim yama, shloshim panim negma, shloshim panim mizrach, vayama lehem yilmah v'korachem baita. But then it stands on 12 ox, like statues of ox. V'yotefach tzvatok v'mazei tzvatkos, perach shoshan al payim bat yachil. And everyone wants to know, what is this thing? So some of the Mepharshim suggest, yeah, they have a picture here also. I mean, it looks like idolatrous, you know, like you have these 12 calves, you know, like oxen. So three facing each direction. So some of the Mepharshim suggest that this is meant to be the Merkava, right? Because the Merkava, that's how it's described, right? With animals facing in all four directions, but empty on top because God is invisible. So it's meant to be the Merkava, to indicate that God is here. This is the chariot of God. So it's this it's this empty golden receptacle with the animals facing four directions, and they tie it to the actual vision of the Merkava, which when the Shekhinah leaves the Beit HaMikdash, Yechezkel sees this chariot with animals facing in four directions just lift up out of the Beit HaMikdash and leave, which is the symbol that God has left the Beit HaMikdash. And this is the symbol that God is in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yosef Kara hates this, and he just thinks that's idolatry. He's like, what? Ooh, I don't... And he said, what is this? What are people talking about? That, you know, why would you need this representative of God? So other people just say, well, it's just a mikvah, right? It's a really fancy schmancy mikvah, or something like that. You know, how is it a mikvah? So the Rambam has the whole... The Rambam says it's a mikvah. It's not... Stop. The Rambam thinks it's a mikvah. How exactly it's a mikvah? You know, because it's a kli, and you aren't allowed to have a mikvah and a kli. It has to be from natural water. So he has a whole thing that they, you know, it would the water would, you know, the water would come straight in. He has a whole cheshbon of, without getting dalachic details, but it could just be a mikvah, a fancy mikvah. Why you have the oxen? It's a bit weird, but okay. And then the rest of it, we get, you know, again, these are like very, very detailed. But he gets the Vayasa Mechones or Nechoshet, Arba Bama Recha Mechona Achad, Varba Bama Rachba Shlosh Bama Komata. Right, so he makes the 10 laver stands of bronze, and each is 4 by 4 by 3, Vizemase Mechona Mizgar Lehem, Mizgar Ben Shlabim, So he has the laver as follows. It has insets, and there are insets within the frames. And the insets from the frames were lions and oxen and kruvim. And then above the frames, there was a stand. And then there were lions and oxen which spiraled onto it again. So everything, the kior, which is like the sinks, so they're all ornate also. They have all these structures, all these images of animals.
Where was the standing?
They're all in the Beit HaMikdash somewhere. Yeah, this was the... we're back in the Beit HaMikdash. We are, right? We're... Yeah, are we? Wait, are we back in the Beit HaMikdash? We should be back in the Beit HaMikdash, right?
Why did you call it this yam?
Yeah, we're back in the Beit HaMikdash now. Right, we switched back into the Beit HaMikdash with all these kalim.
Part of the
palace. No, we ended the palace already. We went back to the Beit HaMikdash.
But where is this part of the Beit HaMikdash?
These are kalim, right? I mean, you have right? The kior is one of the kalim, so now they're building this. And then he has the Arbat Ofanim, we talk about the Skarot, Viadot Ofanim, Mechonav, Akuman, Aofan Achar, Amav, Achitzi, Amav, Masei Ofanim, so Ofanim, Merkava, Yidu, Zam, Vigbehem, Chishukahem, Chishrehem, Akol Mutzak, Varba Ktefot, Albra Pino, Una Achad, Mechon Aktefa, Rosh Amechon, Chatzi, Amav, Koma, Agol Saviv, Al Rosh Amechon, Yidotav, Skarab, Bizimena, Vyftach, Lohod, Yidotav, Al Miskarta, Kruvim, Arayot, Mirot, Tamar Ish, Moyot Saviv, and he has these. So he has these insets and below his four wheels, and then he has the stand, and then the structure of the wheels with like a chariot on wheels, and the axle trees, and the rims, and the spokes, and their hubs, they were all made of metal, or of cast metal, and then four brackets. And it keeps going on, Kizod, Asad, Esra, Mechonot, Mutak, Echad, Midah, Echad, Ketzev, Echad, Lichulana, and then, Vayatza, Esra, Kiriyot, Nechoshin, Arba'im, Bat, Yachil, Akiyor, Echad, Arba, Bama, Akiyor, Echad, Kiyor, Echad, Amachona, Echad, Esra, Mechonot, he makes ten sinks, ויתן את המכונות חמש על כתב הבית מימין וחמש על כתב הבית משמאל ולים נתן בכתב הבית המנית קן ממול נגב ויעץ חירום הקירות או יעים וזמרקות ויחל חירום לעשות כל מלאכה אשר עשה למלך שלמה בית אדוני. And then he says, oh, after all of this, Chiram had finished it, right? The labbers, the scrapers, the bowls, right? The whole list of all these ornate things, he finished it. עמודים שניים וגולורה כותרוש על ראש עמודים שתיים ושבחות שתיים לחזר שתי גולורה כותרוש על ראש עמודים. And he finished the two columns and two globes on top of the columns, right, like all of them, they look like this, right, with the, you know, the columns with the circle and the crowns on top of them. Vidarimonim, arba meot l'shtei shvachot, shtei turim rimonim, shvachah achad, chasud shtei gulot, akadarosh al pnei amudim, and then you had 400 ornate pomegranates, two rows for each network to cover the two globes of the capitals, right, they have these, you know, you can sort of see it. What? God knows. I mean, it took years. I mean, from year 4 to year 11, it took 7 years to make this thing, right? Everything is, every last, you know, because every last kli is ornate, and it has these pomegranates, and it has lilies, and it has animals, and it has everything. And then he has the 10 stands and the 10 sinks. And then he has the big tank. Right, the big Yam Shel Shlomo with the 12 oxen. He made all these kalim, and all these bowls, and all the pails, and all the scrapers, all of cast metal. Sorry, burnished bronze, it translated. Okay. Bikikariyar, whatever that is. Bikikariyar, Dim Sakam Vechma Vyada Mavin Sakoda Vin Sartan. And he left all of them unweighed because it was so much bronze he just couldn't count it, right? It was just endless. And this really comes to, you know, sort of a sad end, because the end, when, you know, like when Sancheiriv comes and at different points, even when they keep the Beit HaMikdash before it gets destroyed, they're constantly to pay the kings to which they hold allegiance are constantly scraping off the gold and then the silver and the nechoshet, and they're always turning it back to wood, and everything is plated with precious metals, and they're always, so this is, you know, in contrast with this, you know, description of just this ornate, overwhelming amount of precious metal. And then, you know, it continues, Vashlomot kol hakelim asher beit adonai mizbach hazav v'shulchan asher alav lachem hem zahav. Everything else is gold, right? This was all bronze, but then the Mizbeach is gold, and the Mizbeach Zahav is gold, the Shulchan is gold, and then, as we mentioned already, he makes 10 menorot, and they're all gold. He makes the basins, and the snuffers, and the sprinkling bowls, and the ladles, and the fire pans of solid gold, and the hinges on the doors are made of gold, and there's gold everywhere.
Are these now the plans of David or on Shlomo?
So, I mean, David doesn't set plans, right? David prepares everything for him.
What
he gets.
What does that mean? What is he preparing? So money, he, or he's preparing
so
plans?
It sounds like he's preparing some plans. Well, I mean, look at the Rayamim, you'll see he prepares the Leviim, right? He literally, he sets up the Mishmarot. He said who's going to sing when, who's going to work when. He's setting up, like, as many plans as he can get in. He is doing it. He's starting, you know, Divrei Hayamim.
Oh, because we're now saying that Shlomo is doing,
right, so here,
more. Is he doing that on his own? Or was
no, so some of this is clearly his own. Some of it is, right, he clearly takes, you know, his initiative in this. Yeah, he's the, you know, the fancy, right, so like Divrei Hayamim, after Perek Yud Zayin, when David says, I want to build a Beit HaMikdash, and Natan says, you can't, your son will. So after that, David, you know, davens that he should be able to be involved with it, and that his son should be able to do it, and then eventually, before this, where is it? His first preparation is really bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, right? He's already doing it, but he's preparing a lot of the other things. He's preparing the Levim, the Kohanim. Definitely some of this grandeur is Shlomo's plan. Like, David didn't, plan everything. David was the one who initiated the idea. Shlomo was the one who implemented, and the grandeur is in line with everything he does, because it's not just the Beit HaMikdash, it's his palace also. And then he finishes all of it. And then he takes his private treasury from David and he puts it in the Beit HaMikdash, like as the Beit HaMikdash's treasury, which is also a big move, right? His wealth is the wealth of the Beit HaMikdash. It clearly is what he's committed to. Again, even if, I don't understand all the architectural stuff, you can tell. Like, he is going above and beyond. It's not just a building. It is, you get this feeling already with, it's the feeling that people ascribe to Herod, where part of his power was that he built and 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 he built grandly. Well, that's what Shlomo is doing. He's building and building, and the Beit HaMikdash especially, it's with, the size and the gold and the silver and the, and the detail and the, the engravings and the number of kalim and everything. It's this glory. And that all leads to Perek Chet, which we'll do, I guess, next week, where now it's built. And now he leaves his message for the Jewish people. Okay, now I built the Beit HaMikdash. What was the purpose? And that's really where he gets to in Perek Chet. And that's where he starts. That's where you see, Perek Chet is like the last real Perek, where you hear his praises, and then that's when things start to get, sort of. I mean, Perek Tet, he hasn't yet changed, but not at the beginning, but at the end he does. Okay. Anyways.